Hello, hello. Mike and Mike, y'all hear me out there?
Hello.
Way back, David, I appreciate that. Well, guys, welcome. My name is Ryan Nixon, and this is my beautiful bride, Callie, and we've had the privilege to serve with Reengage for the last few years, and it's a joy to be with y'all every Wednesday night, and it's a joy to be with y'all tonight as well. And so outside of this, kind of a greater joy of mine, even though we love you guys, is being a part of Team Nixon, Party of Five. So we've got some pictures, and in 2006, we got married. There's us on that so special day.
Babies, little babies.
Yep. And then we had babies.
Then we have babies.
Yep. And so there's our kiddos. Davey is 7. There's some fun pictures.
We keep it classy.
Yeah. Davey's 7. She's our oldest. Evie Lee is 5. And she's on her third broken bone, kind of second break, but third broken bone in 6 months. Way to go. She's our climber. And then little Ryan, we call him Bubby. He's just our passionate one. He screams and he's happy and it goes back and forth all the time. But so tonight we're going to talk about the topic of forgiveness in action. And one, I grabbed this picture because I think a lot of times when we think about forgiveness or confessing our sins, we feel like we need to be with someone who is qualified or who is spiritual enough to kind of hear what we have to say. And even sometimes people come up to me and say, "Hey, Ryan, I need to talk to you because you're a pastor." And I just want to tell them, if you knew how jacked up I was, you'd go find someone else to kind of confess and find help from. But we're going to be talking about forgiveness in action tonight, and it needs to be something that we don't just do with a pastor or a priest, but something we do on a regular basis. But really, this lesson in the Reengage curriculum can be one of the toughest ones that couples have to go through as they walk through the Reengage curriculum.
We've noticed in this area, both in our own marriage and in other people that we get to talk to, that people get hung up kind of in one of two places. Either if you're the victim, you've been sinned against, then you may have a difficult time getting to a place where you feel like you can forgive, or maybe believing that the other person can deserve your forgiveness. And for the offender, the struggle is usually to actually practice true biblical confession and actually complete it by asking for forgiveness.
And we want y'all to know that both of us, over the last 12 years of being married, like, we have played the role of the offender and the victim many times. Like, we've wounded each other in some really severe ways and also wounded each other in smaller ways over and over again, and have had to learn how to work through these steps and move back towards a place of oneness in marriage and reconciling in our own marriage and also reconciling with Christ as well. And like I said, over the course of our marriage, like, here's some of the ways that I've wounded my bride. And so we want to let you know a little bit about who we are. Like, I came into marriage with an addiction to pornography that I was not fully honest with my wife about, which really means I lied and deceived her about what the reality of that addiction was. And then even 4 years into our marriage, while I was a full-time staff member with a parachurch ministry in town, we were connected here at Watermark. We were in a small group. People thought that we had a marriage that was going well, and that I was really leading my wife well. I was lying to her and our small group for those 4 years about the reality of my addiction to pornography. And when that came out, there was hurt because of what I did, but also a lot of broken trust between my wife and also our small group because of the lies and deception. And then as we move forward in our marriage, really over the recent years, like, I've hurt my wife in just big and smaller ways, whether it's through passive-aggressive comments or passive-aggressive questions with, you know, what do you think we should do? And it's really, I should just say, I don't think we should do this, but I kind of form it as a question, which is just
what
a
is
jerk
happening
move.
Here
yeah.
with this?
Total jerk move.
Pride,
selfishness, avoidance of conflict and hard conversations that I've wounded my wife in a number of different ways there.
And I've in turn hurt Ryan in countless ways in our marriage. We've given a talk before where we talk about his role as the offender and my role as the victim. And if you want to hear more about that, you can look it up on the Reengage website. But I really just can't sit before you all and not really share that there's two peas in this pod. I mean, I struggled with an addiction to lust and masturbation for over 10 years before ever sharing it with anyone, because I grew up with parents who were incredibly righteous, incredibly godly, and you didn't talk about that in the church. And thankfully, especially at this church, the tides are turning, and it's such a joy to hear high school women be able to share about the things that they struggle with now. But I initially reacted to his confession with self-righteousness and arrogance. And I almost considered calling off our wedding. And so talk about creating like a safe place to fail. I mean, I almost sent him packing. And it took me a long time to see his sin the way that God sees it, that he is flawed, but he is free. And I think for me, I wasn't connecting the fact that I had experienced freedom through biblical confession and forgiveness, and I didn't yet know how to apply that to another situation that made me scared.
And so, and really for us, what we want to do over these next few minutes is share with you some of the things that we've learned just about confession and forgiveness. And so the Reengage curriculum does a great job in lesson 5 talking about kind of what forgiveness is, and in lesson 6 kind of taking forgiveness in action, where it gives you kind of some practical steps of how to move through confessing and asking forgiveness. And so what we want to talk about tonight is just spend a little more time with lesson 6 on what are some of the areas that can be roadblocks for couples as they move through this process. And so how can we move through it well, or how can we move through it in a better way?
So some of the things that as we confessed them to each other, the actual hurt or grievance had occurred years in the past. And I know that we thought initially, and some of you may think, that is a horrible idea. Why would you want to tell me to take something I did that happened 10 years ago? I mean, isn't that just water under the bridge? And so it's an honest question to ask if we're asking you, why do we confess our sins to each other, both past and present? And so we'd love to give you 3 reasons why we believe confession is a vital part of forgiveness.
And so the first one is that sin separates us from God and others. Like, relationships are always the first casualty of sin, you know, both between us and God and also us and other people. And then another one is unconfessed sin keeps us in bondage to it. When we don't confess sin, it keeps us enslaved to those choices through guilt and shame. And a passage of scripture that became so real to me kind of as I started walking through recovery after those first 4 years was Psalm 32, where it says, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groanings all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of the summer." And then the third why
is confession is the first step towards freedom and intimacy. True intimacy can only be experienced when we're fully known, accepted, and loved, mm-hmm. even in spite of our failures. So Proverbs 28:13, I love it, says, "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy."
So your struggle might not be with lust or pornography, or might not be pride and self-protection, but it is something. And so just take a moment to think about, okay, what is the area that you are tempted with, or that you are finding yourself giving yourself over to on a regular basis, or in the past, or this week? Because it is something. And this sin is keeping you from experiencing the marriage that God wants for you. Like, he wants you to prosper in your marriage. We want you to prosper in your marriage. And so we must practice these steps on a regular, weekly, if not daily basis, both with the big things, like the big sins, the big offenses in our marriage, and also the small stuff as well. So this leads us to step one, all right? And so step one is taking a personal inventory. Okay, so you want to take an inventory of the ways that you have hurt, disappointed, or broken trust with your spouse. And a great place to start and also kind of continue on in this inventory process is Psalm 139, 23, and 24, where the psalmist says, "Search me, O God, and see if there be a sinful way within me, and lead me to everlasting life." You know, many times what we have to do is we have to first just sit and not even ask, like, see if there is a sinful way within me, but, "Lord, reveal to me the sinful way that's in there. Lord, tell me what's in my life that I need to be owning and that I need to come and confess to my bride."
Step two is to confess to God and ask his forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 assures us that if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, nothing's hidden from him, and he loves us still. For those of you with children, it is a joy and a huge passion of mine to teach my kids to come to me with their sin and to come and confess. It brings me so much blessing when they do that, and I know that the Lord is the same way. And step three is confess to your spouse. So Ryan's going to talk a little bit more about this, but it's also really, really important that we confess to a trusted believer, someone who's in your corner, who's for your marriage, not just for you, who can know the specific ways you've wronged your spouse so that they can help you grow in oneness with Jesus and in marriage. This might be someone in your small group or even your re-engage leader. James 5:16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And honestly, this is still a really hard thing for us to do. As we move from, there are no longer probably huge infractions on a day-to-day basis that we have to confess. I mean, Lord willing, there might come some in the future. But even in the smaller day-to-day infractions where it's like, this was just ugliness in my heart and I could tell no one and no one would need to know about it, those can be really hard. But what I love about the Lord is when we're obedient to do what his word says, he shows up in amazing ways. And in the times in my life where I don't feel like being obedient, I love the verse Matthew 6:21 that says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It doesn't say there your heart is also, because sometimes we have to put our treasure in something and trust and allow that the Holy Spirit is going to bring our heart around to connect with our treasure.
And so as we look at step three, and kind of practicing confessing to our spouse, I want to help paint a picture of what this should look like biblically. Because I did this for so wrong for so many years, and I was just taught by the local churches that I was a part of and small groups that I was a part of about here's what confession looks like. But the way that I was doing it hindered me from experiencing freedom from the addictions and the sins that I was committing, and also just hindered me in my relationship with the Lord, and then later on hindered me in my relationship with my wife and others. And so one of the first things we want to do is we want to confess quickly. Like, we want to keep short accounts. Like, don't allow the sin to linger in the dark. And so one of the things we have for ourselves as a couple and also as a church staff, when there's infractions between us, is a 24-hour rule that we want to go to someone when they've wronged us within 24 hours and kind of work through that conflict with them. And then when we come to someone to confess, we want to confess humbly. And so here's what I mean by that is that many times when we wrong someone, we think about how would this affect me if someone did this to me? But the problem is that you aren't the one that was wronged against in this moment. Your spouse was, or your friend was. And so coming humbly in the midst of this confession and asking forgiveness, you want to ask the question like, how would this wound them? How did this hurt them by what I did?
We had a sweet friend that we got to meet at a conference, and he had something, you could tell he had something big to confess. He was kind of like waiting for us afterwards. And, you know, when we're paid, you know, we've all been there. We felt it. And before he confessed, he said, I just hope you really listened to what she said about, you know, making it a safe place to fail. I was like, hold on, honey, just a second. Because we all want to make sure that what we're going to say is received well. So that's why I love that we hit on, it has to be humble. You have to be willing to receive that your spouse's first response might not be the most godly one, but that they will seek him.
Yeah, because they've been wounded by maybe what you're about to say. And so a great question kind of in the midst of kind of confession and asking forgiveness is even asking them, hey, how did this hurt you? Can you help me understand like how this wounded you? Because I want to understand what I'm really asking forgiveness for as well. And so you do it humbly and authentically. And here's what I mean by that is that you're being fully honest. You're not hedging or managing information. Okay. And so one of the ways that will help us not manage information, and one of the things I needed to help me not manage information, is being specific. We want to confess specifically. So specific, but not graphic. And so being specific keeps us from hiding through vague confession like, hey, I've really been struggling this past week, or I messed up recently. Who knows what that means? That can mean a number of different things, but that's how, you know, for me, for two decades, like I saw the church confess towards one another. A better way to confess is to do it specifically by saying something like this. Hey, earlier this past Monday, I did a Google search and was looking at inappropriate images of women. That's a confession that I've had to my wife before, because it specifically says what happened. And so we want to share as much as the offended party wants to know or accountability group wants to know, but we also don't want to share graphic details that might cause someone else to stumble.
Yeah, because in our story, there were times where I can be kind of heapy, you know, just lay it on me, hurt me more. And so I would want to know details about his questions, his confession, that were not beneficial to me. And so there were times when he would ask, hey, I am willing to share that, but would you mind going and finding a trusted person to ask if that is going to be beneficial for you to hear? Because there's a reality that for either one of us, graphic details put an image into our hearts that can prevent us from healing. And so I would seek that counsel, and 9 times out of 10, it was something that I didn't need to know. That would have been masochistic for me to just want to hurt myself more. That doesn't mean, again, that he's not specific. It means that I don't hurt myself by listening and wanting to know graphic images.
And so the next step, step 4, is asking for forgiveness. Don't just say you're sorry, but specifically ask for forgiveness. Honey, will you forgive me for looking at those inappropriate images on my computer on Monday night? Or fill in the blank with whatever way you've wounded your spouse or wounded somebody else.
I just love that, because when we ask for someone for forgiveness, we're literally coming in humility and putting our heart in their hand and saying, hey, will you forgive me the debt that I owe you? And I think that's a really powerful and vulnerable position to be in. All we're doing when we're saying I'm sorry is acknowledging the fact that we are in fact sorry. We're sorry individuals. We sin. We make mistakes. And that is not completing the equation. When we ask forgiveness, there's something beautiful, a beautiful eternal transaction that takes place. Yeah.
And so step 5 is granting forgiveness. And so we want you to know that there are roles and responsibilities for the victim, and you have an active role in this process.
So we know this is hard, especially if it's something that's fresh, but it is important. And so we do believe it's really important to, number one, create a safe place for failure. That is something I did not do well at the beginning of our marriage. I kind of listened like this, like, go ahead, I'm here, I'm open, tell me. No one wants to confess to that, okay? So we want to create a safe place for failure. We want to listen to their confession in humility. So I wanted to listen to Ryan going, hey, those moments where I have felt the most broken, the most putrid in the Lord's eyes, I'm going to hold those right here as a picture in my head, and I'm going to filter his confession through the choices that I know I can make and could make again. So Lord, would you keep that at the front of my mind? And then also we want to thank him for sharing. It takes bravery to share weakness. So it's really important to say, hey, thanks for sharing that.
And then also for the offended person kind of in this situation, if you don't believe or don't feel like your spouse or the other person is a safe place, or it is a safe place, we want you to know you're not off the hook, all right? And so this is a time to where this would be a great, and within Reengage, to kind of talk to your leader, talk to the husband or the wife, whoever your leader is, the same sex, and just ask them for advice on how to kind of walk through this, and maybe even ask them if they join you. His spouse would join you kind of for this confession to kind of help y'all walk through this together.
The second part is extend grace and forgiveness. And so even in the midst of the hurt, the acute hurt, we remember that Christ's grace was extended to us. Right. And while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And even if we don't want to, we work towards extending that grace. This may not be immediately. Depending on the hurt, there are going to be different consequences for different sins, but they all are a grievance to the Lord. And this doesn't mean you can't talk through your hurt at a later date after you've forgiven them. There's still going to be hurt. But it does mean that we can't use this as a weapon at a later date to kind of throw back to them. And then thirdly, we're on the same team. I tell you, this is where I can go down the rut so quickly, is I start believing that he's the enemy and he's not the enemy. There is an enemy. And in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Y'all, in forgiving our spouse, we have an opportunity to be a part of God's plan for healing and redemption and restoration for our spouse. And so we acknowledge that there is a difference between forgiveness and then reconciliation and rebuilding trust. Trust is like a wall that is built. It's torn down quickly, but it takes time to rebuild. It has to be rebuilt slowly and with purpose and patience.
Guys, our hope is that you'll begin moving to this place where you're practicing biblical confession, asking forgiveness, and extending forgiveness to each other that leads towards a place of growing in oneness with your spouse and oneness with the Lord. And we know that a lot of you are already taking those steps and are already kind of working through that process. But we also know that there's some folks out here who still have some things that haven't been confessed, that are unconfessed, maybe from this past week or even years ago. And so our encouragement to you is that if there's anything that is unconfessed, or partially confess, to take that first step towards healing by walking in the light and confessing that with a trusted believer, confessing that to your spouse, and walking through these steps. Please know that it's always easier to walk through this process of asking for forgiveness, extending it, reconciling, rebuilding trust when you confess rather than being caught. But also, we know that there might be some of y'all who are in this room who've lost that opportunity to confess because you were caught in something. And for you, we want you to know that because of our God and his grace and kindness and the way that he works in and through the gospel, like, you also have hope. There is hope for you to move towards a place of asking for and extending forgiveness and moving back towards a place of reconciliation as well. And so during this process, be gracious to each other. Be kind and patient to each other, because both of you are probably learning something that you've never really done before or haven't done well. And so be patient with one another. And so also, we want to let y'all know that there's a lot of great resources outside of Reengage that are going to be able to help you along this process also. About a month ago, John Elmore came and spoke on forgiveness. We'd encourage you to go back and listen to that as well. Scott Kadersha, who's on the marriage team, he's got a lot of great resources on his blog called scottkadersha.com, you know, about forgiveness, about marriage, about confession, about pornography and addiction and other sin struggles, and what do you do? And so there's great resources there. And lastly, whether your story involves an addiction like mine or pornography, or maybe it's people-pleasing, it's an affair, and where it's alcohol, whether it's a big sin or something else, like, a great next step for you after Reengage would be joining us on Monday nights at this place called Regeneration. Reengage kind of takes you about 10 to maybe 20 feet deep underneath the surface with some of the stuff that's been going on, both present and also years ago. And Regen just does a great job to kind of go 10,000 feet deep and just working through your issues. And so that'd be a great next step for you, you know, as you finish up with Reengage.
Don't let that scare you. You may feel like, I'm at 20 feet and I'm getting the bends. Can't take me anymore. It's awesome. It's a worth it climb. So marriage is hard, but I would not trade one moment of marriage for anything, even and especially the hard parts. And Ryan and I are not living perfectly together. We serve a perfect God imperfectly together. And if you're here tonight and you feel like you don't feel that hope that we keep joyfully, annoyingly talking about, then I just want to remind you of Proverbs 4:18 that says, the path of righteous is like the first light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full light of day. And so I just want to remind you, you may not see it yet. You may not see that thin light, but we want to tell you, keep walking, because dawn's coming. The Lord's not given up on your marriage. The Lord has not given up on you. The Lord adores you, and we're here to help you. So thank you for letting us share.
Thank you, guys.
Great.